Defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll be going to your calls live in just a few moments. As always, the number to dial to get your question answered live on air today, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Our contact information is always on the web. It is equip.org via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And via the phone, resource consultants are standing by. That number, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Just a couple of testimonies and then right to the calls. First, a testimony from Jamie, who is delighted that we're now on in Huntsville, Alabama. She says, awesome. I've been waiting for this since the year 2000. I loved listening to Hank when I lived in Kansas City, but then I moved to Birmingham, and I was unable to do so. This is great news. Thank you. As the ministry increases its reach, people are being touched all over the world, whether it's Amman, Jordan, whether it's Ethiopia, Singapore, China, people are being reached, equipped always to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect, and we're able to do what we do because you do what you do, and that is stand with us prayerfully and financially. As mentioned, all this month, June is one of those seminal months in our calendar year in that this is the end of our fiscal year, and we're usually trying to catch up, and that is once again the case this June, and we need many of you to stand with us prayerfully and financially so that we continue doing what we do, but also expand what we do around the world. Here's another testimony by Scott. By God's grace and the Holy Spirit, I've been listening to this broadcast for 15 years. I'll be 54 next week. The truth, candor, and calmness, the biblical interpretation, it's all so beautiful to me. Additionally, to those of you who are co-workers behind the scenes that help make the broadcast so treasured and first class, thank you. And then one more from Andy. Thank you. Just wanted you to know that you're helping so many. I thank God for you and always remember you and everyone at CRI in my prayers, all your listeners. This is why I support you. And again, when someone mentions that they pray for us, it is not something that goes over my head or passes by without any recognition or impact. It is an absolute treasure to me that people pray for me and for this ministry outreach. And as I've said, and I hope this doesn't sound trite, prayer is always firing the winning shot. Thank you for what you do to support this ministry. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Jim, listening in Iowa. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, I have two quick questions if you got time. First
sure.
One is, if someone steals something from you, should you just forget it and let it go? The reason I'm asking is because maybe sometime you could always ask them to come to church, and if you get them in trouble, it's not likely they're going to come. So I just wonder what you'd think about that.
Well, I think it's brilliant on your part, because I think this is what's often referred to as the great inversion between the human order and the kingdom order. The human order says you return harm for harm. The kingdom principle is always you return good for evil. So the larger context is, am I being the kind of person that Jesus is constantly asking me to be through his illustrations? And am I the kind of person that Jesus's illustrations are illustrations of? So I think what you've said is absolutely right on target.
Well, I have another question, but real quick, another question for this question is, how long, if this person's stealing stuff from you, let it go, and they just keep stealing and stealing, pretty soon, if they, how much do you let them get by with?
Yeah, well, see, I think if you look, for example, at the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount is not intended to tell you that you're to allow people to make you a doormat or to abuse you. Rather, it's seeking to communicate what you first alluded to, and that is the kingdom order is a different order from the human order. But certainly, if someone is involved in gross negligence or in robbing you, and they do it with premeditation, they are best off if you will invoke the kind of penalty that is necessary for them to come to a true valuation of things, if indeed they ever will. But the whole idea, again, is to bring to bear the kingdom of God now in your life and vicariously in the lives of others.
So, let's say they just stole a bunch of your tools. That's what I'm getting at. So you just forget it then?
No, I'm saying that you should not forget it. The big issue is to bring the principles of the kingdom to bear. And certainly if someone is robbing you, it is important for you to recognize that there is a penalty, a consequence to stealing.
Okay.
But your motivation is always that you want to help others, and through that, by giving the cup of cold water, by giving the piece of bread, by giving the tools to someone that needs it, you are then demonstrating the love of Christ, and it does give you an opportunity then to speak about the kingdom of Christ.
See, I think you didn't understand what I was meant. My deal is if they steal something from you and you forget it and you let it go, and then or you don't, and then after a while you ask them to come to church, if you got them in trouble for stealing your stuff, they're not likely to come. That's why I was wondering if you should just forget it the first time.
Well, I don't think you should just forget it. I think this gives you an opportunity to talk to the person about what they've done. And if you find out that they're in great need, it may give you an opportunity to help them in that need, but also to bring the principles of the kingdom to bear. And the principle of the kingdom is thou shalt not steal.
Well, so what you're saying is, you're saying, well, I'm going to call the get you in trouble at the court for stealing my stuff, but then you say you should come to church. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that in each and every circumstance, and all circumstances are different, the issue becomes an issue of the heart. So what you are attempting to do is for the furtherance of the kingdom, but that does not mean that you allow someone to get away with evil. So you have to take the broader context into consideration in each circumstance that you face. So I can't give you a cookie-cutter answer. What I'm saying is you always want to put the kingdom principles above the human principles, the human order, the human way of doing things.
Maybe if you let them get away with it, they just keep doing it too, right?
Exactly.
Okay, the second question real quick is, I never heard, what's your position on the sodomites? I've never heard you guys, what you think about them.
Well, I think that we ought to live in accordance with the principles that God sets forth for us to live within, and we do that because when we fail to live within those parameters, harm comes not only to us, but harm comes to the broader society. So if I'm counterfeiting coins in North Carolina, it's going to have an impact on currency throughout the United States of America. So what you do has an impact on people far and wide, and we need to take that into consideration. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Tanya in Fort Wayne, Indiana next. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Hank, thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My question is, if you've been praying to God for something specific, and you've been praying for quite a while about this thing, if you believe that God has told you something specifically to do, do you believe that you can delay your blessing?
Well, I don't think that is how God works. I don't think that God is a capricious God, that if you come up with the right formula that you somehow or other are going to get or extract from God what you need. What you have to recognize is that your Father who is in the heavens, which is a way of saying that God is not only transcendent, but he is immanent. He is one who cares for every need that you have. In fact, there's not a hair that can fall from your head that he doesn't care about it. So the whole idea of prayer is not extracting things from God, but developing a relationship with the lover of your soul out of which everything else flows. So I think the real issue is, Lord, if it be your will, because God knows what's best for you. There are all kinds of things we pray for that in the end we find would not have been good for us anyway. And that's what we must always bear in mind that God sees the panoply of our lives. We see snapshots along the way, and those snapshots aren't enough. And so we look at God, who knows the beginning from the end, and we say, Father, this is what I would like, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will. And not only that, but your timing. So if my kids were constantly nagging me for things, particularly things that I didn't think was good for them, it would show a breach in relationship. I think it's much more analogous to our relationship with God that our kids would recognize that we want to do what's best for them. And once they recognize that, they don't have to nag us anymore because they know that every one of their needs are going to be met with consideration from an earthly father. Well, an earthly father doesn't have 20/20 hindsight. Well, he doesn't have foresight for sure. So it is a matter of doing it in the sense that God wants us to do it in.
Okay. Okay.
I kind of lost my train of thought because we got a bunch of thunder going on here and the lights are flashing on and off, so I didn't know if you were still listening, so I'm glad we still have contact.
I'm listening. Because this is something that I believe God wants us all to have, which is love, a companion, a helpmate. Do you believe that God doesn't want someone to have that?
No, I'm not saying that, but if you're honest with yourself, there are probably a lot of people that you prayed for as a companion that you would look back at 5 years hindsight and you say, wow, I'm glad God didn't pay any attention to that prayer.
Well, I know better than to pray for someone specifically, you know.
Well, but I'm not even suggesting that you can't.
What God wants for me, so it's not a specific prayer as like a person, but just what I've read in the Bible about God saying it's not good for man to be alone and so on and so forth. So if that's a desire in my heart and I pray for that thing, then would God not want me to have that?
No, I'm not saying God doesn't want you to have that. I'm saying that as you pray to God, you say, Lord, mm-hmm. your will be done because you know what is best for me. I'm also saying that prayer is not a magic formula to get things from God. Communicating with God in prayer is itself the prize. So the reward for secret prayer is the prayer itself, the blessing of resting in the providence and the presence of our Heavenly Father. And that is what we should know about prayer. Prayer does not simply maintain the Christian life. It is the Christian life reduced to its barest essence. And I think the tragedy of contemporary Christianity is that we measure the success of our prayer life by the size and scope of what we get or our accomplishments rather than the strength of our relationships with God. So all too often, we're fixated on our outwardness while God is focused on our inwardness. And I think that's the basic issue. We want instant formulas, but God wants intimate fellowship. So we want to pray for a fiery chariot, as someone has well said, in the morning and be riding to church in it by nightfall. But the reality is we rarely pray for fire and open our eyes to find a box of matches in our hands. I've written about this in The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, that book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Back to the phone lines, Dan, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, K-A-R-I. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how's it going? I just had a quick question about conflict resolution between Christians and the church. Like, for example, if somebody, even in leadership, was gossiping and like I confronted them, talked to them about it in a nice way, but they just, everything you say, they say, no, I didn't. And there's plenty of witnesses. How far do you go? Like, how do you see that to the end?
Yep. Well, you know, that question is answered step by step in Matthew chapter 18. These are the words of Jesus. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, well, then you've won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And then, says Jesus, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And further, if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector, because now you're dealing with someone who is not invoking the principles of the kingdom, but is demonstrating by action that they are, in fact, one who is aligned with human principle instead. And that's why Jesus says you can treat them as a pagan or as a tax collector. Going to have to leave it at that, but the passage again starts in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 18. And again, this is all about, in fact, three of the calls have been about invoking the principles of the kingdom. We do not merely live by a human set of principles or standards. We live by a higher standard, and that higher standard is the kingdom principles that Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount and elsewhere throughout the Bible. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We'll be back live in just a few moments. Here's Hank again with a special offer.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text, verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
We'll return with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast after this. Did you know that June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast? That's because we close out another financial year, and to do so successfully, we must receive $650,000 in gifts from friends like you by June 30th. So if the Bible Answer Man broadcast has helped equip you in your walk with Christ, please help us reach this critical goal through your gift today. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact more lives with His truth and equip Christians as true disciples of Christ. Your gift matters. CRI is entirely supported by people like you who share our sense of urgency to equip all Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI, or you can give online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also, included is the entire 2-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
In the next few weeks, CRI will come to a very critical deadline, June 30th. That date is the end of our financial year and the deadline to receive $650,000 so we can reach even more people who are desperately searching for the hope and truth found in God's Word. So I hope you'll go to your phone right now and call 888-7000-CRI with your generous gift. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Help CRI end our financial year strong, ready to reach more listeners like Rod, who recently shared on Facebook, "You have helped me to have a greater love and understanding of God's Word." Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff with more of the answers you need today.
Thank you very much, Randy. I wanted to append one thing to what you just said, and that is, it is not just that we're asking people to give so that we can reach more people, but actually it gets right down to the heart of continuing to do precisely what we're doing, where we're doing it now. So it is important for people to stand with us prayerfully and financially, but only give as you've been given. Give with a grateful heart. Do not give out of duress. God loves a cheerful giver. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Diana, listening in Santa Barbara, California, KDIA. Hi, Diana.
Hi, thank you for taking the call.
Pleasure.
I was calling regarding medical cannabis and studying the Word of God.
Uh-huh.
I just was wondering the conflict in trying to study the Bible and in using medical marijuana. What is your view on that?
You're talking about marijuana in general, or are you talking about medical marijuana?
Pardon me?
Are you talking about marijuana in general or medical marijuana?
Yes, I'm talking about medical marijuana and studying the Word of God.
So have you been prescribed medical marijuana?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So here's the issue. I think that what we ought to do is heed what the Bible tells us, and that is we are called to be sober-minded, not indulging in drug-induced stupor, which is to say that if, in fact, you need this for medical purposes, then so be it. If it is prescribed and it is a genuine need, then you have that genuine need and you have to take your medicine, as it were. I know that my mother has had some issues, physical of late, and as a result of that, she's had to take some drugs that put her in an altered state of consciousness. It's just the side effects of taking those drugs. But she also has adequate time when she's not in that particular condition to study the Word of God as well. And I think that when we're studying the Word of God and we're intoxicated in one way or another, we're not going to get the full benefit of the Word of God, and that has to be kept in mind. Remember that there are so many negative effects to marijuana that, again, it's really important that the prescription is a prescription that's really necessary, because there are harmful effects including dependence, respiratory illness, poor motor performance, mental illness, impaired cognitive function, distorted perceptions, and the list can go on and on, including issues like problems with learning and memory. So even though states are increasingly in the process of legalizing marijuana, I think that we need to take a very sober look at the impact of marijuana and make certain that this is something that is really necessary for you. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Beth, Kansas City, Kansas, KCCV. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Hank. I need some clarification on Hebrews 6, 4 through 6.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to fit with other things in the gospel as far as God's grace, and I think about the prodigal son. So just wanted your thoughts on those verses.
Yeah, I mean, this has to do with a Hebrew who falls away. And this falling away, again, then, in context of Hebrews, written to Hebrews or Jews, has to do with a Jew or Jews who fall back into Judaism or bondage to the law, which is already fulfilled through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And Hebrews talks about this in various ways. For example, if you go back to temple priest and sacrifice, when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come, it is tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. So it is a failure to recognize that Jesus is the one who fulfills all the civil and ceremonial laws, the one who is the ultimate sacrificial lamb, the one who is the living temple in their midst. And so those who fall back into bondage to the law demonstrate that they had a said faith. In other words, they said they believed, but in actuality, they didn't believe at all. So it is highlighting the difference between what I like to call a professing Christian, someone who makes a profession, and a possessing Christian, someone who actually possesses a relationship with the Lord of glory.
Okay, so somebody who professed it but never really lived it?
Well, in this case, again, there's a context, and the context is Hebrews is written to Jews, and it is a warning, in essence, to not fall back into the trap of keeping the law, which has already been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, the law has purposes. The law is not just the law. There are various purposes to the law. So I'm not talking about the law in the sense of the Ten Commandments, but I'm talking about the law in the sense of civil and ceremonial laws that were pointing forward to Jesus Christ, or more specifically, even temple, priest, and sacrifice. To go back to those rituals when the sacrificial lamb has come is an indication that you don't really believe that the sacrificial lamb fulfilled all the law and the prophets.
Okay.
Makes sense? Good.
Thank you very much.
You got it, Beth. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Brenda. She's listening in Flint Hill, Missouri, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, Hank.
Pleasure.
I enjoy your show. I'm driving my car after work every day. I listen to it on the way home. I need your advice.
Yeah.
I am a Christian. I have been for almost 30 years. I grew up in a very dysfunctional home with a lot of abuse, physical and emotional. I have a sister, an older sister, and a younger brother who have not been able to forgive my parents. My brother is an alcoholic, and my sister, I believe, is alcoholic, and she does street drugs. We got together for the first time in 7 years this past Christmas, but a lot of people were around, so there's nothing personal talked about, you understand? And then my husband and I, our daughter got married 2 weeks ago, and my sister came again, my brother was there. So what I'm asking is, this Father's Day is going to be the first time that my sister, my brother, my parents, and I are going to be alone.
Hmm.
I've been praying for almost 30 years for my family.
Hmm.
My brother and my father are extremely prejudiced people, and I don't know what to do. I've been trying to you know, go by what I feel that God is telling me, you know, by example, you live your life, this will be a good thing. But my question is, do I approach them about any, you know, I'm very nervous about this, and I want to do the right thing, what Christ would want me to do.
Yeah.
And everything, you understand, and I'm so excited because I believe my prayer has been answered because I thought I'd never even see my sister again.
Mm.
And, you know, and Christmas was the first time in 7 years.
Wow.
And she, you know, and she is in very poor health, on oxygen now, and she needs a lung and a heart transplant because of all the drugs and stuff. So I want salvation for my family really bad, but I know that's something that they have to come to terms with God with. And I'm very fearful that they won't find it, especially
yes.
My sister. And So I was wondering what advice you could offer me.
Well, Brenda, I think that you need to simply rest in the Lord, recognizing that the testimony of your love and the testimony of your lips is a very powerful force. It is a kingdom force, and it penetrates darkness. If the Lord gives you an opportunity to use the testimony of your lips as well, all the better. But you have a testimony. You have the peace of Christ that you bring into that circumstance. And you're absolutely right to say that you can't change anybody's heart. Only the Holy Spirit does that. So you have to rest in that. You have to rest in praying for your family and recognizing that for reconciliation to take place between parents and children always requires that there's someone who is willing to forgive and someone who is wanting to be forgiven. And without those two, reconciliation doesn't take place. And so you can't force someone to want to be forgiven. You can, however, pray, and you are seeing the realization in some sense to your prayers mm-hmm. because you're all going to be together. And I think that's a wonderful thing. And I think just to rest in the Lord now, don't feel like you have to do anything extraordinary. Just be there radiating the love of Jesus Christ, and being a representative of the kingdom may open all kinds of doors for conversation, and just walk through those doors as the Lord opens them.
Okay. I really have felt like by my example, because I call my sister about every 2 weeks now because I don't want her to feel smothered, you know. And you know, I've shared some things about, you know, how I've been able to mom and dad, and then I have peace about that, you know, and that I had gotten Christian counseling for it, and that what peace I find in my life through Christ. Yes. But, you know, they kind of snicker at me, you know, and they think I don't live in a real world. And
Well, you don't live in a real world. You live in a world that has been invaded by the kingdom of heaven. And so it is not just the existence that they're comfortable with or they even seem to comprehend. But you have seen that there is an invasion of kingdom principles in this world, and you're living this out in their presence. So it's not as much what would Jesus do in this circumstance, but it is what would Jesus have me do in this circumstance. And I think ultimately what I've said earlier applies. Rest in His grace, in His peace. Always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. The issue is never evangelism. The issue is being equipped for evangelism. And I can tell you, based on the loving way in which you have expressed concern, that you are equipped, ready to testify by your life and your love, and if God adds the testimony of your lips, even better. But I think you are a great example, and you will be the light of Jesus Christ shining in that dark place. And we hope and pray by God's grace that that light will penetrate their hearts. But again, we can't violate the human will. People have to want to be forgiven, want reconciliation, not only with God, but also with others. Brenda, thank you for your example, and may God add His blessing to your testimony and that circumstance as it comes together in the near future. Coming up to station break, we'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. And do remember, all the resources that I mention or are mentioned on the broadcast, you can find them on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Again, we'll be right back with more answers.
With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust, all designed to equip you to defend the faith and deepen your discernment skills. Search for articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man online, or a 3-minute Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer Bible questions. You can also connect with us by signing up for our e-newsletter and receive special benefits.
Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Don't tune out. The Bible Answer Man will return in a moment.
Did you know that June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast? That's because we close out another financial year, and to do so successfully, we must receive $650,000 in gifts from friends like you by June 30th. So if the Bible Answer Man broadcast has helped equip you in your walk with Christ, please help us reach this critical goal through your gift today. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact more lives with His truth and equip Christians as true disciples of Christ. Your gift matters. CRI is entirely supported by people like you who share our sense of urgency to equip all Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI, or you can give online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also, included is the entire two-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. As you may know by now, CRI ends its financial year this month, which means June 30th is a very important date for us because we must receive $650,000 in gifts from friends like you if we're to finish the year on target, ready to reach more people searching for the truth and to equip Christians to be true disciples of Christ. So call 888-7000-CRI and help us reach this important goal. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Give your best gift to impact more lives like Rob, who recently shared, "Hank and his ministry have truly changed the way I think about God and Jesus." Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I have been contemplating from time to time the necessity of doing like a telethon or something like that, or a radio-a-thon or whatever you call them, where you just spend all the time raising the resources that you need. But I am inclined not to do that. I want to answer questions. That is what we're called to do. And remember, when we answer questions, it is not for the sake of answering questions. It is to demonstrate that the Christian faith does stand up to scrutiny, and that we should always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. Back to the phone lines. Connie, she's listening in Washington, KCIS. Hi, Connie.
Hi. Yes, I'd like to ask a question regarding Luke 4:22-28. But first, I also want to speak to verse 19, where Jesus says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Would that mean that when Jesus came, it's the acceptable year of the Lord?
Well, yeah, I mean, the kingdom has invaded time and space for sure, and this is one of the things that's very interesting in the context. I'm glad you gave the broader context, because in the context specifically related to your question is this proverb that Jesus said, most surely his townfolk or his kinfolk were going to, in fact, quote to him, which is, physician, heal yourself. Do in your hometown what you have done in other places like Capernaum. And you got to remember the context here. In his hometown, even within his own family, he was rejected. James, for example, and the rest, Jude, they're all embarrassed by everything that Jesus stood for. They were chagrined by Jesus Christ. He was saying he was God, and they were embarrassed because their half-brother is calling himself God. And Jesus is pointing out here a very important principle. They are failing to recognize Messiah in their midst. So he could do in Capernaum what he couldn't do in his hometown, because he wasn't there to put on a show. He was there through his miracles to demonstrate that Messiah was in their midst, that the kingdom had been inaugurated on earth and one day would be consummated. So he uses all kinds of examples here, including the example that there were many in Israel with leprosy, and yet they were not healed. Instead, it was only Naaman the Syrian who was healed. Why? Because he believed, they did not. And what's interesting is the Jews got his point. Even his family members got the point, and they were furious. As a result of their fury, they tried to kill him. So the whole point is that Israel was not receiving Messiah in their midst. In fact, some of the teachers of the law went as far as to say, no, what you're doing has nothing to do with God whatsoever. We recognize the miracles. We've heard about them in Capernaum, but you're doing what you do by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of demons. So Jesus Christ here is saying, I'm not going to put on a show. This is a demonstration that the kingdom has invaded time and space, and yet you are rejecting Messiah in your midst.
I see. So they were wrathful, so wrathful that they wanted to throw him off a cliff because he wouldn't kowtow to their miracle-working stuff.
Well, yeah, they wouldn't recognize that the miracles were not just for the sake of miracles. The miracles authenticated Jesus Christ for who he was, and they were a demonstration that the king had landed in disguise and was calling all of them to join him in a great campaign of sabotage, which is to say to overthrow the kingdom of this world and replace it with the kingdom of God. But they didn't want that. They wanted their old traditions. And so they were rejecting Messiah in their midst. And what's interesting when you talk about even his family members, it wasn't until the post-resurrection appearances that his own family members, by and large, were transformed. James, at that time, prior to the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ, he was embarrassed by his half-brother, but when Jesus appeared to him, then he called himself a bondservant of Jesus Christ. He became the leader of the Jerusalem church, and eventually he was martyred for his faith. So you inevitably have to ask yourself the question, why would someone willingly die for the notion that his half-brother was God? Well, because his half-brother was God and had ultimately demonstrated it through the fact that he had the power over life and death.
Okay. Well, that clears that. I have maybe one more question, maybe.
Okay.
Okay. In Luke 23:12, it mentions that Herod and Pilate were enemies. And then they became friends after Herod met Jesus. Why do you think that was? Do you know anything about that as far as other sources?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there are extra-biblical sources which lay this out as well. Josephus would be a classic case in point. But when Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. And from what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him, very much like the others, perform some miracles. And so he plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there vehemently accusing him. And then Herod and his soldiers began ridiculing and mocking him. They dressed him with an elegant robe and they sent him back to Pilate. And that day, Herod and Pilate became friends because they were joined in the same wrathful vengeance against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So they were in fellowship over their own evil deeds.
So a fellowship of wrath.
Yeah.
Okay. One question. well, maybe this is too much. I don't know. Maybe you could give me some scripture references. Jesus spent so much time teaching his disciples. In what scripture references would you say that he tested them?
Well, I think they were tested over and over again, which is to say that when Peter was standing before a fire, when the Lord was being convicted without any cause whatsoever, he was innocent, and Peter, when asked if he was, in fact, with Jesus Christ and a follower of Jesus Christ, Peter denied Jesus Christ with vile oaths. I don't know him. I have nothing to do with him. And so he was tested by the circumstances of his life, what was going on, and he decided that his own security was far more important than being a follower of Jesus Christ. And after he had denied the Lord, he went out and wept bitterly because he was truly repentant over having denied the Lord. Judas did exactly the opposite. He betrayed Jesus Christ and then, in effect, was sorry for being caught. There was no real, genuine repentance that took place. So one is not restored. The other later on is restored because just as Peter had denied his Lord, in the end, Jesus said to him three times, "Feed my sheep." I didn't say there was permutations of that, but I won't go into that. But the basic idea is that Jesus had restored him because Peter had genuinely repented. Want to move on quickly to John. He's listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, on the World Wide Web. Hi, John.
Oh, hi, Hank. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate your ministry.
You got it.
Hey, just pondering just the debate that keeps going on about how, you know, if the world was created in literal 7 days, or if it was something that was more than that. Like when you look at the universe and you see God's handiwork, and it seems to me, I don't know. I mean, I'm no scientist. It seems to me like you're looking at an old universe, and I know that God is a creator God. Just like I think of my wife, she creates paintings, and so she does every once in a while she was making a new painting, and so I'm just pondering and also wondering what your thought is about that. Is it a literal 7 days, or what are we looking at? Is God? Did God create the earth in those 7 days and the moon and the sun at that time? Or?
Well, remember, God speaks and the universe leaps into existence. It doesn't take God but a millisecond to create everything out of nothing. He's the uncaused first cause of all things. And so I don't think that the framework that we're given in Genesis chapter 1 is designed to give us a chronology of creation, but very obviously a way of remembering God's purposes in creation. culminating with the crowning jewels of his creation, humankind. So as I said many times in the broadcast, if you want to know the age of the earth, I don't think that's the place you look for the age of the earth. And everyone who has ultimately tried that ploy, from Bishop Usher to people who preceded him and people who followed him, have inevitably had egg on their face because they've missed the timing quite apparently. I think what ultimately we want to do is look at general revelation, and general revelation, I think, says precisely what you have just said. General revelation says that we live in an old universe. Whether you're looking at sequential layers in ice cores, or whether you're looking at the speed of light, or whether you're looking at the age of stars, all of these things build a very compelling case, I think, for precisely what you cited, an old universe. And so the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. We have been called to not only be good students of Scripture, but also good students of science, which actually came about as a result of Christian principles. The Greeks could codify logic, but they couldn't really do science because they believed that the universe was ministered by moody gods. But the great Christian theologian said, no, God is not a capricious God. He is a God who does all things well, systematically. He's ordered his universe in a particular way, and we should learn to think his thoughts after him. And so they began doing that, and that very worldview ultimately ended up not only in Christian universities, but the whole scientific paradigm to begin with. So again, I think we need to learn to read the Bible for all it's worth, or mine the Bible for all its wealth. We ought to do the same thing with science. Written about the age of the universe in many places, including the Creation Answer Book, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. A lot of you hanging on. We're out of time, but I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. If you want your question answered for the next hour, you can dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Again, for the next hour, I'll be taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so you can call that number from now on through the next hour, and I'll continue answering your questions. I'll record my answers to your questions and play that in a recorded show sometime later on when I'm traveling. Thanks for tuning in. We look forward to seeing all the rest of you next time with more.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in your walk with God, just go to our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many,
The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.